And I hope that for all of you, it is beautiful, whatever mask on or mask off, to be in a social experience together, to be with each other live. I was in Camp Simcha this summer with some of you, and girls came over to me and said, I went to all of your shiurim on Zoom. And I said, I'm so sorry, I'm like, this is how you meet people and know people. And it is absolutely glorious to get here. Yishayahu HaNavi says, Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, look for Hashem when he is found. Haru b'yoso karov, call him when he is karov, call him when he is close. This is a very famous pasuk which talks about the closeness that a Kaddish Baruch Hu has with us. Elul is one step in the closeness, Rosh Hashanah the next step forward, Yom HaKippurim l'fnai v'lifnim. It is a powerful time to do tshuva. And yet, we are so distracted by so much more in our lives. And it's hard to get into Elul. I open every shiur that I've given in Elul, and I suppose this is my third Elul shiur at Stern College for Women, Kanei Nahara. And I bet you I've said this every year. But Pinchas says, he doesn't say, have you ever been on the Palisades? But I spent a lot of time on the Palisades this summer. So the Palisades, and there's no traffic, so you're driving fast, and there are trees on both sides. You have that experience, right? What does it look like? The trees are, they're moving, right? They're rushing past you. And really, who's moving? You. And here we are, what is it, 5 days before Rosh Hashanah? What happens? How did we get here? How did that happen, that whole Elul process happened, and I'm literally standing less than a week before Rosh Hashanah, and all I'm thinking about are my roommates, my classes, my travel plans, and whatever else, and how do I get into this place? Hamelech Basada means that Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, the Rebbe wants to say Hamelech Basada, that means he's in the field, he's coming out, he's coming to greet us, and we are Basada, we are walking into first class. We are with him. He's with us. Rav Ova says, quoting the Gemara in Brachos, the Olam Ishtadel Adam, Larutz Likras Malcha Yisrael, V'gam Lo Likras Malcha Yisrael, Levad Ela Likras Malcha Avodas Elilim. One should always run to see kings, not only the kings of Israel, but the kings of the idol worshippers as well. Why? Hakol Barak Chodo. The whole world is full of Hashem's glory. Why am I rushing to see royalty? What is the message of seeing royalty? Because if you see a little bit of royalty, maybe you can grasp an ounce of what Melech Malchei Hamlachim is really about. Says Rav Ova, and Rav Ova is gone from this world, Rav Shlomo Balba, good 30 years, and he already said, Malchut, gone from the world. There is nothing royal in the world today. I think the English-British family made a good disaster of the last vestiges of royalty in our world. But I did see the crown jewels. Did anybody else? Amazing to see what at least we have some taste of what royalty was, what it was to be regal, what it was to be somebody who people venerated like that. That was a reality of the world 100 years ago in many different places that is completely gone. There were kings in Vienna and Austria, there were kings there still may be kings in Africa, but I think there are different kinds of kings. Anyone studying that? You never know what somebody's studying in Stern, right? Do not. Anthropology of wherever. And he says, we are living in a memshelet zadon. We are living in a memshelet. These are the characteristics Rav Ova gives to the ruling powers of our world today. I'm going to grab my tea. This feels so good. You know, rainy day is just a tea time. I'm sorry I don't have one for all of you. Delicious. Okay, what are the malchiyot of today? Are run by the following.
powers. Sinah, machloket, gavah, gezel, ramaut, achzariut. To translate that for you, that is hatred, conflict, haughtiness, stealing, trickery, and cruelty. And those are the powers ruling our world, and yet we have to find and touch and grasp that there is a melech in this world. There is a concept of melech umalchuso bacho mashallah, who rules over everything, who is the ultimate of royalty. When we can't grasp royalty, we don't know what royalty is, we have to look and understand that there is a melech who runs everything, who is all-powerful, and he's coming to us and he's saying, meet me, find me, grasp me, look for me. And we say in our Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davenings, v'chein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha. Hashem, the whole world should just recognize you, should know you, should find you. I remember it is now, this year it will be 13 years ago since I ended up spending Rosh Hashanah in Winthrop Hospital in Mineola. And I had my little mobster as my son was sitting in the ICU there. And I'm reading the Rosh Hashanah davening. And everybody is being judged today. Who is going to starve? Who's going to be killed by sword? Who's going to have peace? And I'm looking around and I'm like, and no one here knows? I'm the only one. I'm the only one that God knows that God is, we are encountering God. And we need to find him. We need to find him. We need to recognize that he's there. And this is the time that he says, look for me, you'll find me. Encounter me, you'll come close. You have to be searching. Rabbi Frank Waxman gives the example of why people don't see God. The example of a young man who just gets his driver's license. And he neglects to put on his seatbelt. You know, the cars today, Rabbi Frank Waxman gave this, I heard this mashal from him about 20 years ago. So today's cars wouldn't let him not put on the seatbelt. Why? They would keep saying, put on driver's seatbelt, or driver's seatbelt must be fastened. That's what I call my car a kanan. I can barely drive 1 second and it's telling me to put on my seatbelt. But this young man is not putting on his seatbelt, and he's driving freely. And mom sees him come up to the house without a driver's, without the seatbelt on. She says, why are you wearing a seatbelt? Seatbelts save lives. And he says, I'm okay, I'm fine. I don't need it. And one day mom is with him in the car, and he's not wearing a seatbelt, and all of a sudden he sees a cop. And what does he do? He quickly buckles up. And mom says, and I don't understand, that it saves lives and don't wear it. But when you see the cop, you put it on. He says, mom, that's exactly it. I can see the cop. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding. All vestiges of Malchus, we are living in the time of Hastir Astir. It's so hidden. And yet I celebrate that we drove up to Stern in pouring rain and we got the parking spot right in front. So that the hidden, within the hiddenness, he is so obviously there. Dirshu means now is the time to be dorish, to want. To want and to understand that he cares about us, he's looking at us, and it matters what we do. We matter. And he's looking to see how much we're aware of that relationship. Ani ledodi vidodi li. I'm for my beloved is for me. It's a time of the duality of that relationship. In fact, one of the things I like to remind people of every Rosh Hashanah shir, we say, Zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha zikaron liyom rishon. This is the day that that remember, we remember the very first day. That very first day is not the first day of creation. Yom Rishon
Avodah.
Right? It's not that. What is the first day we're commemorating on Rosh Hashanah? You can just call out the answer because you know it.
Adam Rishon.
Oh, okay, we are celebrating the creation of humanity, of Adam. This is the sixth day in the afternoon. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the creation of somebody who can recognize God. There has never been an entity in the world until this point of da'as, of knowledge. The Gemara says it many times, in ein da'as habdala mihayim. If I don't have knowledge, I can't tell the difference. I can't differentiate. I can't distinguish between kodesh and chol, between orach. I can't tell that there is anything. This is the time, God said, the celebration of creation, the purpose of creation is humanity. Rosh Hashanah is the celebration of my humanness. That I can encounter God. And that he has expectation from me. I have from the Sifse Chaim, what he calls the Cheshbon Shel Rosh Hashanah. Practically speaking, somebody who's about to meet with the king should actually be terrified. All the more so if he has what to ask from the king. All the more so if he sinned and the king knows. All the more so if he had been responsible for the Otsar HaMelech, the bank accounts of the king and his possessions, and all the more so if he stole from what the king gave him to be responsible for. Ultimately, what Hashem gives us to be responsible for every single morning is Shechazamta b'nishmasi, to give me my neshama every day. And all the more so if he gives what the king entrusted to him, to the enemy of the king. And all the more so if he is still involved in the relationship with the enemy of the king at the time that he's meeting the king. And yet, we float through Elul. We're not aware of this. We're just not there. You know, they say that back in the European yeshivos, people could barely speak. They were crying so much. And I certainly think that based on what Klal Yisrael has experienced in the last year, Rosh Hashanah is a time, an encounter that should give us a tremble. But also, Zachreinu L'chaim Melech Chafetz B'chaim. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and he cares about us. And he wants to see that we're ready, that we're looking for him. And I want to understand a mashal pashut that Rav Yerucham Levavitz gives about this encounter. This encounter of Rosh Hashanah. And Yerucham says something amazing. He says, so we live our lives, and we don't live too much with the godly presence-ness. He says, the avoda of a person is an avoda he calls rikuz. What's rikuz?
Focus,
concentration. Anyone planning on making aliyah maybe at any point soon? You can use this when you go for your grocery shopping. Besek agvaniyot is tomato sauce. Tarkiz agvaniyot is tomato paste. Because it's concentrated. Okay? That's rikuz is concentration. It's focus. Focus is very hard, especially in the year 2021 when it's gotten even harder. Because what are we used to doing? Swiping. You know what the it's very interesting. The Hebrew word for surfing the internet is
Leglosh, which means to surf. And Ravava writes, Oy lemisha golesh b'chayim. Woe to a person who's just kind of floating through their lives and not focusing. The same word. There was no surfing the internet in his days, but he uses that same shorish, which is amazing. And he says, the ultimate of focus, the highest level of focus that was in the history of the world, what is the highest level of focus? That's Nivua. That's the highest level of potential focus, where a person was so able to concentrate their brain on godliness that they actually were able to transcend their humanness and rendezvous with God. That was prophecy. That's gone. We can't do that. But he says the best focus and the ultimate real focus that every Jew should always have in life is Ein Od Melvado. In every action, every step that I take, there is nothing other than God. Everything I do is either godly or it's not. That's basically all of life. And very few of us really live like that. But Rav Yerucham Lubavitch writes, and it's a very powerful statement, and I thought I had it here on these notes and these cards, but my cards go everywhere, and I flip them from shir to shir, like I put in what I take out, I take out what I put in. But I remember what he says. And he says, but if, when we are standing in Shemona Esrei, next Tuesday morning, and we get up to Malchios, and we can focus a little bit on those words, and if we don't understand Hebrew word, well, it is our responsibility, our achrayus at this age and stage of your life to have a translated mafsir so that you can understand what you're saying. And review it before. And if you can reach any element of recognition of godliness during that prayer service, during that Shemona Esrei, if you don't get there during Shemona Esrei, what's always nice about davening in shul is if you don't get it during Shemona Esrei, you know what you have? Chazar Shashas. You can hear it again and try to focus the next time. Hashem will judge you at that point. That's when he's judging you. He's judging you based on the place you get. He says, this is the Hanes Shel Rosh Hashanah. If you can get to that place on Rosh Hashanah, it is an absolute miracle. God is going to judge you as that kind of person. The person who really is double, is close, is recognizing him. And that's the avodah. Could I get there? Could I get there? And he gives an amazing mashal. All of this is brought down in the Matnas Chaim of Ramat Yisrael Solomon Shlita. And Ramat Yisrael says, he gives a mashal pashut. A mashal pashut means a very simple, not complex mashal. Very, very not complex parable. I think it is a mashal nifla. It's amazing. It's an amazing mashal. It's an amazing parable because it so speaks to who we are, where we are, what we're at, what our struggle is, and what we need to do now. And the mashal he gives is to a king. There's always a king in a mashal. Very often there's a daughter, but there's not in this mashal. So there's a king. And he decides to go out to see his people. Right? We said now, HaMelech Basadeh. He's going out to the field. He wants to see the people. And an old man living in a disheveled shack at the edge of the forest, he's a woodcutter, he gets noticed that the king is coming to him. The king is coming to him. And he runs home. And he says to his wife, we need to fix things up here. We need to fix our chairs. If the king sits down, he's going to smash the chair. We need new windows because the draft coming in will be terrible for the king. We need to at least clean this carpet. And she looks at him and she says, as a good wife would say, you hypocrite! All these years I told you we needed to fix the chairs, we needed to fix the windows, we needed. And you said to me, we don't have the money. And he turns to her and he says, but honey, we still don't. But we're going to borrow because the king is coming. And the king doesn't expect us to build him a palace. He knows who we are. But he at least expects that when he gets here, we showed him that we recognize the erech, the value, and the privilege of the fact that we knew he was coming. And that we knew somebody special was coming, and that we were able to credit it the due respect.
And she turns to him and she says, in her very simple country wife manner, "But if the king is coming to see how we live, why should we change anything? He wants to see how we live." And this is the line that I think is nifla. The answer is, if the king really wanted to see how we lived, he wouldn't have let us know that he's coming. The fact that he, some people, that's a missing child or something, or confusion.
Flashback.
Oh, it's a flashback. Okay.
Sometimes that also could be. Everyone should be safe. Do you get how that muscle is amazing? God expects you to show your house. But he told you he's coming. Your house doesn't look like anybody else's house. Every one of us has our own struggles, our own situations, our own backgrounds. I'm looking at a huge room of girls, all different. But what he expects from each of us is that when we get to Rosh Hashanah, we've made certain preparations to at least acknowledge to the king that we knew he was coming. So we make ourselves better as ourselves. They say that Rav Steinman was asked once, when there was a terrible tzara in Klal Yisrael, what should we fix? You know what his answer was? Kol echad yodea ma'asikun shomar. Every person knows what they need to fix. Everybody knows it's not the same for everybody. Everybody knows what they could make better. Everyone knows what's realistic for them. Again, going back to our mashal, the king doesn't expect the woodcutter to make him a palace. But the king expects the woodcutter to fix up his house. To show him something that you acknowledge, that you knew, that you recognized, and you gave it erech, you gave it value. That you were aware that I was coming. And that is the avodah. Just to quote him in Hebrew, "Ki lo mivakshim livnot lo armon, rak mivakshim shetetagnu shetetakein." Just wants you to fix. He wants you to make things better. You know, they say the famous story of the, and I just thought of it here, it's not even in these notes, it's also for a Hanukkah year too, a great blessing always. But that the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was walking once at night, and he chanced upon the shoemaker, and he found him working late at night. And as the Hebrew song that parodies this goes, he said to him, "Sandlar, sandlar, harekva milchar, lamata odayim ubeg. Why are you still working?" What did the sandlar say? "Kol zman she'haner dolet, efshar l'tayim." As long as the candle's burning, I can fix. And they say that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter walked around for days after that, just repeating that line, "Kol zman she'haner dolet, efshar l'tayim." As long as I'm alive in this world, I can be better. I can fix. I can do. I'm amazing. And I'm going to share with you one last mashal, because I love to give some time for a little discussion, and he wants me to end by 9:15. From the Chafetz Chaim HaKadosh. If you learn daily lessons in the Chafetz Chaim, it's from the 8th day of Elul that this lesson is on, in the book, meaning not from the Chafetz Chaim, but this is how it ended up. And it definitely is flooding
out there. I hear it very loud. But look how the chesed of Hashem that we're nice and dry in here right now, right? Also, anybody who was wet drying up, you feeling okay? Good. So the Chafetz Chaim comments on the words that Hillel Omer, Pirkei Avos, Im ein ani li mili. If I am not for myself, who is for me? And it goes on, but we're not going to go through the rest of it. But it's a fun psalm to sing all of them together because they rhyme with each other. And it goes, Im ein ani li mili, if I'm not for me, who is for me? And the Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal to explain what this means. If I'm not for me, who is for me? And he says, imagine we encounter midday tomorrow, which is Thursday, the father of a large family, sitting in a cafe in the middle of the day, clearly not doing any business, he's not working. And he doesn't seem to be worried that he needs to be working. And it's a work day. So you could say, in today's world, that could also be a mother or a father or either one. But in the Chafetz Chaim's mashal, the father is the breadwinner. And the Chafetz Chaim says there's a number of reasons we could think he's not working. Maybe he's not working. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't say this, but I'm just saying this. Maybe he's not working because he's on break from work. Maybe he's not working because he's out of a job. Maybe he is practically not working because his wife makes so much money he doesn't have to work. There are a lot of reasons. The Chafetz Chaim gives two possibilities also. Maybe he's not working because he has a job that is seasonal. So he runs a camp, and he's busy from after Pesach preparing for camp, and he's busy for a little bit after the summer. But in the interim months, he's okay, and he doesn't really have to work much. Maybe he has a job that is time-related, so that he is a doctor, and he's working overnight in the night shift, and he got up in the morning, he went to daven, and he had a little rest, and he learned, and now he's just relaxing a little bit. And that there's so many reasons we can give as to why a person who needs to be bringing in an income might possibly not be working. Oh, the last reason the Chafetz Chaim gives, that's a really loud one. The last reason the Chafetz Chaim gives is maybe he's not working because he's so wealthy he doesn't need to work. That's possible too, right? He just manages his money for a couple hours a day and then goes on to relax. Chafetz Chaim says, when it comes to avodah, meet my avodah Hashem,
we have been disconnected.
When it comes to my avodah Hashem, there are no explanations as to why a person is not working. In main anili mili, if I'm not looking out for my spiritual wellness, if I am not looking out to make sure that I am ready and ravoy and strong to go and greet the king, nobody else is doing this for me. And what's fantastic about this Jewish people that we're a part of, it catapults us into a place of continuous growth. There's never a point in time, there are points in time when it comes to material wealth where a person can actually say, I made enough money, I retire. Not with Avodas Hashem. There's no point at which is why there is always purpose in life, be you 20, 30, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. As long as you have your moach and you can do and you can think and you can interact with people, you have a purpose and you have work to do. So Sechaim quotes from Mitzvah Maliyahu. That Hannah says in her tefillah, the Eshbok es nafshi l'fnei Hashem. I pour my nefesh out before Hashem, and I'm going to close with this. What is the nefesh? He says, nefesh, my nefesh, is my ratzon. Nefesh are my she'ifot, what I desire, what I want. I'm pouring that all out to you. I'm letting you know how Kaddish Baruch. My nefesh could be something that wants a burger.
But my nefesh wants something much greater. And I want to show that to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I approach Rosh Hashanah. Again, wherever I'm at, from the place that I'm at, from the place of my potential growth, that I'm looking to be more. I'm looking to be better. And I'm looking to make myself feel good with the knowledge that I can. That I can, and I'm utterly free to do that. There are a lot of things I'm not utterly free to do, but when it comes to my spiritual self, where I am vis-a-vis my relationship with God, I'm utterly free to do that. It should be with bracha and hatzlacha. And again, I have another 4 minutes before I'm officially supposed to end, but I love the siach that takes place after this year, if there are any brave girls who could ask a question. But I want to mevarech all of you with a shana tova, a ksiva v'chasima tova, a good year, a year where we hear only besura tova from God's Klal Yisrael, from all of Klal Yisrael. We should hear good things and happy times and good health and shalom. Mashiach should come. Any questions or comments from the crowd, please? Somebody open up for us. Until Rabbi Bernstein says I have to leave. When we were on Zoom, this worked very well. People did. Are we more bashful when it's not Zoom? Is that possible? Yes, thank you. Who are you?
My name is Ellie Shanzer.
Hi, Ellie. Okay.
Hi. So I wanted to ask for the last thing you just said, Eileen. Sometimes it feels a little bit selfish. Like there are some times where, let's say you can do something for a friend, but maybe, let's say you're driving there a very long mental car or something like that, and you know in the back of your mind that like your friend needs you to do something for them. So on the one hand, you have this connection to Hashem that you're standing in front of Hashem, but on the other hand, you know that your friend is there and maybe they're not asking for it, but you could do something.
Okay, so just to explain that to Ellie, the Chabad Chaim is really only commented on the beginning of the Mishnah, which is Im Ein Ani Li Mili, but the Mishnah continues. Ukshani La'atzmi Ma'ani. If I'm only for myself, then what am I? So that is the answer to that question. So that, first of all, the lesson that I was taking out from today is my Avodas Hashem is about me, and only I can take care of it. But certainly, if I'm only for myself and I'm just so holy, I teach high school most of the week, right? The example I give is I'm running to take part in the Chesed project in school when mommy needs my help at home, right? So that's a very real dynamic, like what really is your avoda, or exactly that avoda, like the example that my father, Zichrono Levracha, used to give was a man who was like davening so devoutly in shul. He saw this happen, and his son threw up everywhere, and other people were cleaning it up, and he just like kept right. So that the finishing of Hillel's maimar is. Imeinani limili, uchshani la'atmi, la'ani, and what's next? Vim lo'ach shavei masai. And if it's not now, when? Meaning, the reality is that duality. My avodas Hashem, only I am responsible for my growth, but I am not in this world alone. B'toch ami anochi yoshavas. And that's how I want to go into my Rosh Hashanah. I want to be part of this people. I want to be merevet, I want to be mixed with them, I want to go on the shoulders of all the people who are with me and all of their goodness. So that is the answer to your question. Yes. Your name?
Sophie Sherman.
Hi, Sophie.
Do you have a tip or a trick that you use to make your LL special?
A tip or a trick to make your LL special? Well, we have 5 more days for LL, but you know what happens after LL? Asarat Yimei Shuva, right? We have 10 days of Shuva, it's like more. Tishrei comes next. Yes, it really does. There's really no tip or trick. What we're looking to do is up our Avodas Hashem. So I like to say, and I'm sure you've heard this many times, little. Like we said, the woodchopper does not need to make a palace. So I like to say pick 2 things that you're going to try to work on every day that are small. One, bin adam la makom. That's my God relationships of my observance of his mitzvot and service of him. Whatever fits into that, right? And one thing bin adam l'chaveiro. Small. Small. But put that in your elo. That's what the chupa process is about. That I'm looking to improve. Small, but I'm looking to improve. Yes?
Do you have any practical ways how to go through the machzor? Because there's just so many tefillos and so much.
There are so many tefillos in the machzor. I would very much say the crown of Rosh Hashanah is, as I mentioned, is the tefillos of Malchios. So that's where you want to start. You want to start with understanding Malchios, reading through the Psukim. The way that the Rosh Hashanah tefillos work in each Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros, we start with Psukim from Torah Shebech Tzav, then Nevi'im, then Kesubim, that talk about that theme. But that's where I would start. And we have many, many Mefarshei HaMachzor, but lucky us, our scroll has really done a beautiful job of consolidating like the most relevant and the ones most worth. So that would be my tip for Rosh Hashanah. And for Yom Kippur, this is also in the Art Scroll Machzor, all the Al-Chaits are elucidated in the back. So that would, you know, as to what they're referring to and what falls under the rubric of each thing that we... And I watch people just going like this, I'm like, they're clearly not thinking about what they're saying. If you're just going like this, then you're really not. So that would be something to spend time looking at afterward, you know, also. And then from there, you can expand. There's a lot to expand, too. He didn't tell me to stop, so keep going. If you have somebody else, something else. Should you ask? Yes, you should. No? Okay. All right. Oh, yes, thank you. Who are you?
Jesse.
Okay.
I guess we always spend so much time on focusing, like how we can connect to Hashem during this time, but how are we supposed to take that from not only in Elo and like during Rosh Hashanah time? Like how do we continue it, our connection through the whole year?
You keep going to Shiurim, right?
And
you do because you're Bli Ayin Hara Baruch Hashem in a wonderful place that always makes that available to you. So that's very, very fortunate for you, which is one of the reasons maybe that you came here as opposed to a university someplace else. You also came here for the social, but whatever. The other thing is stay connected to some part of your davening. Whatever that might be, it might even just be a small part. But stay connected. Okay, we're done.
The avoda of mechila is not to just ask everybody in the world to come up. You're supposed to specifically ask mechila, and that's what's the harder mechila is to ask people that you potentially really have hurt. If anything, the sending out the text and the mass mechilas is making a joke out of mechila. And we know who the people we might have hurt are. We all have them in our lives, and usually they're the people we live with. And we need to really ask mechila from the bottom of our heart. Lucky for us, the people we live with usually love us, and they want to be mocha us. And in fact, what Rabbi Rukam actually says, that if we're sincere, Hashem will open their hearts, hopefully, to want. Will help them open their hearts to want to be mocha. Should be with a lot of hashbacha for everybody.